This Thursday, May 16th, is the world premiere of Jail Baby. The play, created through a partnership between Sarasvati Productions and the Elizabeth Fry Society of Manitoba, tells the story of incarcerated women and the justice system. The play runs until May 26th at the Center of Theatre and Film at the University of Winnipeg. I'm joined now in the studio by Hope McIntyre and Tracy Booth. Hope McIntyre is the artistic director of Sarasvati Productions and the co-writer of Jail Baby. Tracy Booth is the executive director of the Elizabeth Fry Society of Manitoba. Welcome, both of you.
Thank you.
Thank you, Migwich.
Hope, I wanted to start by asking you about the preparation of the script for Jail Baby. You conducted years of drama workshops within jails. Can you talk about what that experience was like?
It was an absolutely amazing experience. So essentially, we did sessions at the Winnipeg Remand Center, at the Portage Correctional Center, at the Edmonton Institution for Women, and then also in the Healing Center in Maple Creek, Saskatchewan. And what we found was that the women were so keen to participate. They loved being able to get up on their feet and be actors, to be creative, to have a voice. And we were very honored by their stories and their willingness to share all of that with us. And I think for a lot of them, it was just an opportunity to play. And, you know, you don't always get that opportunity when you've grown up in a household with very little. Most of them have never been able to see a play, let alone participate in the creative process. So for us, it was just a true gift to go in and work with these women. And I think several of them said to us, you know, no one's ever really asked our stories before or wanted to share our stories. And it's so important that that education happens, because they often feel that nobody cares, that they've been put away and there's no one really fighting for them. And they know the Elizabeth Fry Society is there doing fabulous work, but the common public, like, do they care? So this was an opportunity for us to really gather those stories, and then huge task for us to try and create an artistically interesting play out of so much material and so much information. And so that was really our challenge, and finding a way to balance all of the issues, because we really learned that there's so much at play here.
Tracy, I wanted to ask you, for what was the experience like, the drama workshop experience for incarcerated women, like the women that you work with through Elizabeth Fry?
I think for a lot of women that are incarcerated, there isn't an opportunity for self-expression, and arts is very important. Theater work, you know, drawing, whatever arts are available. And I think that that's also part of the healing process, in order to be able to tell your story in different ways and to learn some skills, for it to be validated. It is liberating, and I think it's very healing.
Hope, one of the characters, Jasmine, is born in prison and grows up within the child welfare and the criminal justice system. Can you talk about how Jasmine's experiences are portrayed in the play?
Yeah, I think what's really interesting about the play is that we have Jasmine as kind of the through line of the piece. And we see her at the beginning of the play at 18, 8 months pregnant, facing her first adult charge. And for her, it's the realization of, I am in the same position my mother was 18 years ago, and I'm about to give birth to another jail baby. And so the cycle, that revolving door, really hits her. And so then the rest of the play is flashbacks. We see her childhood. We see her growing up. And our hope is that that allows the audience to not just paint this picture of her as a monster or other her, but to see this is a human being. And these are the things that led to her being where she is. And then the challenge for her as a character in the play is, how can she break that cycle for her daughter? And is she going to be able to make those changes? Because she's faced with so many factors beyond her control in terms of, yes, not being having a healthy life or household to grow up in, not being equipped with the proper resources, not being educated. So there's a lot for her to battle with. But I think the audience will be able to sympathize with her.
Tracy, for when you see Jasmine as she's portrayed in the play and the other characters, are these experiences common to the women that you work with?
Yes, they are. As I think we've talked about in other interviews, the involvement with child welfare, the number of homes that children are moved in this province, really creates its own set of dynamics, and also creates coping skills that don't lend well to to adult life. If you're moved every time there's a problem, you don't know how to problem solve, negotiate, deal with people that you're angry with, and how do you live with them every day, which when you grow up in a family, you have to do that. There's conflict between amongst yourself, your siblings, or your parents, grandparents, cousins, and that normalcy isn't a reality for a lot of the women that in terms of the play portrays and that we're involved with. And that's further extended if their parents or grandparents were residential school survivors. They've also learned that set of coping skills of not to deal with anger, not to deal with problems in a good way, and society expects them to have that knowledge.
The play has parodies of the criminal justice system, including a scene of a kangaroo court that includes cameos by Winnipeg lawyers. Hope, can you talk about how you've used comedy in dealing with what are very serious and disturbing topics?
Absolutely. And actually, that came from the women, because we asked them what needs to be in a play about your lives. They said it has to be funny, because they could not cope if they didn't have humor. And they realized that, and they realized for an audience, too, there needs to be some relief. So we decided that the best way to do that was to parody the stereotypes, the myths, but also there's so much as absurdity in the justice system. Just even talking to some of the lawyers when they've come into rehearsal and they're talking about the robes they have to wear and when you have to say my lord or my lady versus, you know, there's a lot that for an outsider walking into a courtroom, it's overwhelming. So the kangaroo court scene is like Alice in Wonderland. It's this character who's just thrown into this bizarre, crazy world, doesn't understand what the heck's going on. And we can kind of laugh at it, but at the same time, I think it makes us go, wow, like there's some stuff that's really messed up about our system. And the lawyers have been fabulous. So yeah, we have five Winnipeg lawyers who are coming in and playing a senile, sleepy old judge in the scene. So it's just a hilarious little way of including the legal community in the show.
And it wasn't hard to get lawyers who are not actors to participate in this scene. They were eager to.
I think a lot of lawyers have to be actors at times as well. And of course, MTC does the lawyer show every year. So there's a whole group of lawyers out there who've been acting on the stage as well as in the courtroom for a while. So a lot of them have done that.
There are discussion panels after every show, including one on May 18th on the overrepresentation of Aboriginal women in prison, the Tracy that you'll be participating on.
Yes.
Can you talk about why this is an important topic to discuss after the play?
Yes, because currently in this province, over 80% of the women that are involved in the criminal justice system are Aboriginal. So that means that justice in Manitoba is racialized, because one race is predominantly a small minority of 15% of the province is being overrepresented in the criminal justice system. So there's something wrong going on. And I think, the public needs to understand that, because I'm sure when they think of justice, they wouldn't think that it's almost exclusively one race. Just so people are aware that Saskatchewan's even higher, over 90% of the women involved in the criminal justice system are Aboriginal. That means almost 100% one race is being policed, and we're the minority. And so it brings up a lot of that discourse, because some of that discourse is about who's surveilled, because who's surveilled is in jail. And so where is policing, just in terms of a lot of issues? But it also speaks to when you see high numbers like that in terms of one race being represented in the criminal justice system or in the child welfare system or other systems, it means that there's a lot of social exclusion within that society, because if not, the numbers would be more reflective of the population. So that means that if you looked at things from a population health point of view with the social determinants of health, that it's not easy for Aboriginal people in this province to mitigate structural or systemic barriers. One example is the education, and a lot of the women that we work with and that are also involved in the federal system have very low levels of literacy, usually leaving school at grade 6 or grade 9. So education and literacy are an easy predictor of who will be involved in the criminal justice system. And there's been really no remedy that I can see in this province and the education ministry to remedy the literacy rates, because the current system is not meeting those needs. So usually in other provinces where there is Aboriginal people, you don't see the over-representation because you see some reflexivity in the systems. So something has to be changed in order, and it doesn't mean about money. It's often the lens from which service is delivered that needs to be changed rather than the application of money to increase recidivism. Like in education, it's changing the curriculum, which doesn't cost money.
Hope, what other panels are there? If you could just talk about a couple that are happening after the play.
Absolutely. We're really excited about the panels because it's a chance for a real dialogue to happen. So we're covering, first of all, why are so many poor people in prison? Why is it an economic issue? We're looking at the balance between safety and security and justice. So often we hear that, you know, we have to put people away in order to make our community safer. We want to break that down and talk about that. And the foster care system. Our last panel on the 25th is going to talk about the foster care system and what do you do when so many single mothers are being incarcerated and then their children are going to end up either in the foster system or with families. So you're replicating a lot of the problems because of that. So we're trying to tackle a lot of the issues that the play brings up.
Are any women who were recently incarcerated and or women who participated in the workshops, are they able to see the play?
We're really excited that we will be bringing in one of the women who worked with us at the Healing Lodge in Maple Creek. And in fact, her artwork is on the poster for the play and all over the play. Kathy's going to be coming in. She's currently in Edmonton, and she'll be coming in for the performance and being on two of the panels with us on the 18th and 19th. So she can speak both to her experience through the system, but also her involvement with the play and what that's meant to her. She's never seen a play before, and she's never been to Winnipeg, so it's a lot of firsts for her, and she's extremely excited to be able to be part of it.
So the play is running starting this Thursday. What do you both hope will happen after the play? What do you see as the next steps for the work that's gone on in this?
Well, from our perspective, we're really excited that the play is also being published. So the script version of the play will be released by Scirocco Drama before the opening night. And that for us means that the play can get into the curriculum. It can be performed by other theater companies. The word can get out there and that education can continue. So that even if someone can't be in Winnipeg to see the play, they still have an opportunity to read it and experience it.
I guess for the Elizabeth Fry Society, it would be nice if we could get more funding to have, we're an agency of approximately 8 people. And currently, right now, between the numbers in the Winnipeg Remand and the Headingley Women's Correctional Center, there's almost 300 women and there's 8 staff. So we would hope that we could somehow use that to get some more funding so that we can continue to do the work that we do in the jails, because we're the only agency that goes into the prisons and advocates and does the linkages with the legal system and support.
Well, thank you both for coming in today.
Our pleasure. Yeah.
Thank you, McWitch.
I've been speaking with Hope McIntyre of Sarasvati Productions and Tracy Booth of the Elizabeth Fry Society of Manitoba. And the play Jail Baby opens this Thursday, May 16th. And the play is directed by Anne Hodges. And there's ticket information and more at Sarasvati, that's Sarasvati.ca.